What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. The history the government hopes you never learn. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
Welcome to our show. It is Friday, June 2nd, 2023. Thank goodness it's Friday. Thank goodness it's Friday. Thank goodness it's Friday. Another very, very busy news day. We're going to try and get through as much of it as we can until we open up the phone lines for your comments, questions, observations, and opinions. Mike is in our control room taking care of business. And before we get into the news here, I have a little bit of a programming announcement to make. I am going to be taking this next week off. Now, I very rarely take time away from the radio broadcast. You've seen me do this show with an oxygen cannula. You've seen me do it out of a wheelchair. But I need some time away from, first of all the bad news. And there are some things that I need to deal with that I can't seem to get to, because prepping for this radio show and then doing the radio show is pretty much a full-time job. I need to take care of some other areas of our lives here, Claire and I. So I'm going to be off for next week, and the website's probably going to be a lot lighter than normal. But I really do need some time off here, and I hope you'll understand the situation here. Alrighty, getting into the news, as expected, Chuck Schumer's Senate was a lock for approving the deal to raise the debt ceiling, which will be, and here's that word again, suspended until January 1st, 2025. They're promising spending will remain roughly flat for the same period of time when factoring in agreed-upon appropriations and adjustments, which sounds kind of fuzzy. And, of course, virtually none of this is what the conservatives wanted to come to pass. They wanted a limit on government borrowing and spending, because ultimately the taxpayers get to pay for that, not only through taxes, but when they keep creating more and more money out of thin air, it triggers inflation, which makes the money you already have worth that much less. So anyway, the 63-36 vote means the legislation will go to Joe Biden's desk, who looks forward to signing the bill into law as soon as possible, according to a White House statement. Now, I'm bothered by the use of that word suspended, because it sounds to me like there will be no debt limit between now and after next year's election, which means that Joe Biden can basically go over to the Federal Reserve and say, well, we want to borrow trillions more to fight those evil Russians, or to hand out lots of money to Democratic voters, in the form of, they're still talking reparations and all that nonsense here. Now, one thing the Senate did do yesterday is they voted 52-46 to block President Joe Biden's student loan relief program. This would repeal the debt relief program and resume federal student loan debt payments, which the administration had on pause. Now, the problem is Joe Biden is probably just going to veto this bill, and based on its original vote, I don't think the Senate is going to have enough votes to override the veto. So I think that one is not going to work. Anyway, everybody is out there trumpeting that FBI Director Christopher Wray has finally relented, and he's going to bring that subpoenaed FD-1023 document from the Biden family investigation to Capitol Hill for lawmakers to inspect on Monday. Could have done it today, but no, they're going to do it on Monday. This document contains uncorroborated allegations that an informant provided the FBI in June 2020, alleging that Joe Biden, when he was vice president, was engaged in a bribery scheme to change U.S. policy in return for $5 million to his family businesses. Congress was alerted to the document by an FBI whistleblower who raised concerns the allegations were never properly investigated. Imagine my shock here. In one report, they're saying that what is going to be provided to Congress on Monday is a redacted copy, using the excuse that the FBI has to protect sources and methods. But that means certain things in the document are going to be blacked on out. Marjorie Taylor Greene is saying, the reality is that Christopher Wray doesn't know everything that the House Oversight Committee knows. And, you know, he could slip up and make a major, major mistake. Okay, now, finally, some of those additional January 6th videos from inside the Capitol building are being released. And one of them catches Nancy Pelosi exiting the Capitol building in the company of her daughter, Alexandra Pelosi, who is a filmmaker and was there basically, you know, taking video of Nancy Pelosi, supposedly for an eventual documentary. Now, we had heard this story before, but now we have confirmation from this video, and it further reinforces the notion that this was all staged. It was scripted. I mean, you know, if this had really been a spontaneous uprising by the Trump supporters, then how would Nancy Pelosi have known to bring her daughter and the film crew all the way out from California? And apparently there were other crew there as well with cameras and, you know, watching, filming the exit, the escape from the Trump supporters here. And, you know, Pelosi is also seen conducting a caucus video conference that morning, criticizing Republican plans to delay certification. Her chief of staff warned that Trump might go to the Capitol following his noon speech at the Ellipse. And Pelosi said, "I hope he comes. I'm going to punch his lights out." Okay, so turning toward her daughter's camera, Pelosi continued, "I've been waiting for this, for trespassing on Capitol grounds. I'm going to punch him out. I'm going to go to jail, and I'm going to be happy." So, yeah, this was a setup from day one. Absolutely here. Okay. Now, there was a flashback article coming out of American Greatness here, and it's about a report that definitely showed Nancy Pelosi was at the core of this, you know, the decisions regarding security and preparation and turning down additional National Guard and, you know, basically just setting the stage for things to go out of control and scream, "Oh, it's an insurrection. It's an insurrection. We have to teach those Trump supporters, you know, a hard, hard lesson." Okay. Now, let's see. There is continuing pressure from governments around the world, especially now Australia has stepped on in. They've sent diplomats to Washington, D.C. to get the U.S. government to drop the espionage case against Julian Assange, because Julian Assange didn't spy on the U.S. government. He didn't ask for classified information to be given given to him. He was basically the recipient of a leak. You know, just like the Washington Post and the New York Times were given the Pentagon Papers. And so he's not really technically in violation of the law. And the case against him is really very weak. Of course, in today's kangaroo court system, you know, anything can happen. I mean, look what they did to Stuart Rhodes here. So apparently the FBI has restarted its investigation into Julian Assange. Apparently they're looking for something else that they can charge him with to not to sort of quell the political outcry for his release. Okay. All righty. Now, former Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot, who left her office in disgrace, has a new job already. She's been hired by Harvard to teach public health and leadership. And, the patronage is definitely there here. Now, there's an important article here by Paul Craig Roberts, and it's called "The Criminalization of Truth in the Western World." And he starts out saying, "Time is running out on truth, the telling of which is being criminalized." And he quotes Aldous Huxley in Brave New World in the introduction, saying the greatest triumphs of propaganda have been accomplished not by doing something like overtly lying, but by refraining from doing. Great is truth, but still greater from a practical point of view is silence about the truth. By simply not mentioning certain subjects, totalitarian propagandists influence thought more effectively than by lying, like when they were concealing the adverse effects of the COVID vaccine, the evidence of election fraud, and so forth and so on. So, you know, Elon Musk spent a large part of his fortune to free Twitter from censorship, and now he is finding that the European Union will ban Twitter from the EU member states unless Elon Musk accepts European Union censorship of truths unwelcome to the European Union agenda. So, yeah, it is a war between the liars and the truth tellers. Now, over at Twitter, they've had two people leave quite recently, and one of them was Ella Irwin, the company's former top official for safety and content moderation. She basically drafted her resignation Thursday in the hours after Elon Musk reversed the company's position on the documentary What is a Woman? And try and limit its reach among followers. So the documentary is back up on Twitter. In fact, Elon Musk himself has a link to it and pinned it. And I don't know how much remains of the 24 hours where you can watch the documentary for free. But this has liberals really up in arms, as it were. The other individual who left Twitter basically tried to make sure that ads were not being shown next to content that was deemed inappropriate. Okay. All righty. Now, let's see. Tucker Carlson's most recent video post has over 133 million views on Twitter. What is a Woman by Matt Walsh has over 47 million views on Twitter, Fox News, CNN, and MSNBC. Oh, I'm sorry, the punctuation error there. 47 million views on Twitter. Now, Fox News, CNN, and MSNBC can't even hit 2 million viewers in prime time. This is how the American public has realized the corporate media is just the ministry of propaganda for the government and corporations. They are turning away from the corporate media. They're coming to social media, to independent platforms like republicbroadcasting.org and whatreallyhappened.com. And they're getting their information from there, and they're deciding for themselves what is going on in the world, and that is really an important thing. Thomas Jefferson once said, "The highest duty of every American citizen is to keep themselves fully informed so that they can make good choices." And that's what Americans are doing now. They're going on out, and they're keeping themselves fully informed. They basically have stopped just sitting in front of the screen and being spoon-fed what some corporation or government official wants them to think is the truth. All right. Now, over at Disney, we talked about this a little bit yesterday. Their new live-action Little Mermaid was getting brutal reviews over at the Internet Movie Database. And so IMDb actually rigged their algorithm to try and make the numbers look better and rescue the box office for Disney. But according to this article in Breitbart, it looks like this movie is a flop. And it's on track to lose millions of dollars. It's a yet another woke flop. Part of the problem is that in this live-action version, the Little Mermaid is non-white. And apparently one of the Black Lives Matter people came on out and said, you know, if she's black, you've got to depict her as a slave. Otherwise, you're erasing our history. I mean, some of the stuff just gets downright silly. And basically, you know, and then we had that situation earlier where this mustached man in a dress was working at this boutique showing little girls the princess dresses. And it's very clear at this point that the Disney brand has suffered a tremendous, tremendous amount of damage. And in fact, Disney stock is down just about one-third since they started their feud with Ron DeSantis over the Parental Rights in Education Act. So they're taking a beating along with Target and Anheuser-Busch and Kohl's and so forth and so on here. All righty. Now then, a little bit of good news. This is coming to us from justthenews.com. Counties all across the United States are going back to hand-counting election ballots instead of using these electronic tabulation machines over concerns about the accuracy and security of the devices. And at the forefront of the transition is election integrity advocate Linda Rance, who says her model, now being used in a Missouri county, is less expensive than critics continue to say it is. And Basically, more and more of these counties are terminating their contracts with Dominion voting systems over concerns that they're easy to rig and that they're used to facilitate cheating. Now, over at YouTube, they've had a change of heart on the subject of election fraud. They are reversing their misinformation policy, and from now on, you'll be allowed to post content that alleges fraud, errors, or system glitches in elections. Okay, it will be allowed to remain on the platform. Up until now, if you posted a video saying the election was rigged, it would be removed immediately. And YouTube originally implemented the policy in December 2020, following the certification of the 2020 election results by a sufficient number of states. The company, in a recent statement, expressed that continuing to enforce this policy could inadvertently suppress political discourse without significantly mitigating the potential for violence or other tangible harm. So we're starting to get the voice back here. And probably these censored social media platforms are looking at the uncensored platforms and saying, you know, we can't compete with that anymore. All right, let's talk about COVID here. And there's a very, very sad story coming out of Hollywood involving actor and comedian Jamie Foxx. And apparently, he was forced to get a COVID injection in order to work at this film studio. And the shot left him blind and partially paralyzed. And everybody's been trying to cover it up here. And it's another tragedy here. Okay, out of patriotandliberty.com, microbiologist Kevin McKernan, a former researcher and team leader for the MIT Human Genome Project, has discovered massive DNA contamination in the mRNA COVID shots, including simian virus 40 promoters. Now, for those of you who have been following along with medical stuff, simian virus 40 has been linked to cancer in humans, including mesotheliomas, lymphomas, and cancers of the brain and bone. In 2002, The Lancet published evidence linking polio vaccines contaminated with SV40 to non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. And according to the authors, the vaccine may be responsible for up to 50% of the 55,000 non-Hodgkin's lymphoma cases diagnosed each and every year. Okay. And, that's nasty stuff. The finding of DNA means that the mRNA COVID shots may, in fact, have the ability to alter the human genome. In other words, they're rewriting your DNA. Over in Great Britain, the government of Prime Minister Rishi Sunak said it will not hand over internal WhatsApp messages requested by a public inquiry into its handling of the COVID-19 pandemic, and instead will go to court to basically void the demand. Now, the inquiry was ordered by the government itself back in 2021 and chaired by a former judge, and it gave the government a 1500 GMT deadline to hand over the documents, but the Cabinet Office said the COVID-19 inquiry was going beyond its remit, and the WhatsApp messages and other records that it requested were unambiguously irrelevant. So the cover-up continues here. All righty, we're coming up on the next commercial break. We're going to talk about the international news. It is very disheartening. It's very discouraging. It's probably one of the reasons I need to take a break away from all this stuff. And according to Joachim Hagopian, all roads are now leading to an imminent World War III. And apparently, an ominous Ukraine development this week was Putin's Tuesday announcement that Russia launched a drone strike directly hitting Ukraine's Intelligence Command Center headquarters. We'll be right back after this.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org, smash that donate button like Russian peacekeepers smashing through the Azov neo-Nazi terrorists in the Donbass.
I don't think you can explain politics without looking at Jewish power any more than you can explain physics without dealing with gravity.
9/11 was a jointly conducted covert operation that involved multiple states, the Saudis, the Israelis, and what you could call the deep state in the United States.
With anti-Semitic remarks.
yeah, you're jiggling juice, we used to say, the dancing Israelis.
So even the Republicans now are compromising, and they're pushing issues that are destructive to the white race.
They would always say, like, are we just going to talk about this stuff on the radio? And what are we going to do about it?
Either we force the democracy to work by actually getting the ballot access, getting the candidates, getting in office, getting our message out there to the people, or we expose just how undemocratic it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
When all this twisted steel was swept away, did these remaining holes reveal what really happened?
Welcome back to our show here, and we're talking about this article saying all roads are now leading to an imminent World War III. And we've had people like Victoria Nuland saying it's probably going to start in July. We had other people saying it's going to start this month. And they've been building us up to this all the time here. And Putin basically bombed Ukraine's military intelligence headquarters. And Putin was probably very angry that this intelligence headquarters had said, we're going to try and assassinate, Putin. We tried to do it before and failed, but we're going to try and do it again. So Putin's probably saying, well, I think we need to put a stop to that kind of thinking here. Now, the debt ceiling agreement reached between the White House and House Republicans places no constraints on spending on the war in Ukraine. And this gets back to what I was saying about the debt ceiling being suspended rather than simply raised. While he's still in office in his first term, Biden can just spend all he wants on Ukraine to try and, defeat Russia. And, of course, there's no oversight on where that money is going. And, there's probably a lot of corruption going on. Ukraine has a reputation of being Europe's most corrupt country. And so it's huge. And so far, there's been $113 billion to spend on the war in Ukraine. It was passed as supplemental emergency funds, which are exempt from the spending caps that are part of the debt ceiling deal. But then again, they're using that word suspended rather than cap. Now, Western countries appear to openly support the Ukrainian authorities' policy to physically exterminate ethnic Russians. This is coming from Russian Foreign Ministry spokeswoman Maria Zakharova. And she said, on the whole, the West openly supports Kiev's policy of physical extermination of ethnic Russians. It tacitly nods in approval when Ukrainian functionaries promise to exterminate the population of Crimea. And now the Westerners themselves have begun to talk openly about the extermination of civilians in Russia. This is definitely not looking good. And, of course, you've got U.S. Senator Lindsey Graham out there saying Russians are dying. It's the best money we have ever spent. Now, after the drone attacks on Moscow and the Moscow region, Russia has obtained a full legal right to retaliate using a nuclear weapon on Ukraine. And this is under Russia's law. That right is enshrined in the foundations of Russia's state policy in the field of nuclear deterrence, okay, in Russia's nuclear doctrine. If you send missiles into our country, we have a legal right to send really bad stuff over to you. And in the heat of discussions of the Ukrainian UAV attack on Moscow, many missed out a very important point. Okay, the media reported about an attempted drone attack on a target in the village of Vlasik, and the that's where the central command post of ground-based strategic nuclear forces and the headquarters of Russia's strategic missile forces are located. So, Ukraine is already gunning for Russia's nuclear facilities, and Russia is not going to let them be destroyed on the ground. If they really feel that there is a threat to that part of their nuclear deterrent being taken out, they're going to turn those little keys, and it's going to be a bad day for anybody not wearing 2 million sunblock. Now, the president of Moldova, Maia Sandu, said moments ago, actually earlier today, she's ready to grant permission to Ukraine to send troops into Moldova to grab the gigantic weapons storage depot in Transnistria, which is currently under Russian protection. So we're talking about Ukrainian forces and Russian forces going up against each other, in Transnistria. And so it's, this thing is building. And I don't know, I'd love to find a way to stop it and, you know, throw an ice bucket challenge on all the war hawks here. But, you know, they really want the war. They really, really do. They think that they can actually destroy Russia and destroy China in order to bring about the one world government, new world order. And they don't care who gets blown up in it. They don't care how much money has to be spent. Now, the Polish government has signed a deal to purchase 800 Hellfire II missiles that will be carried by a new fleet of attack helicopters, with a request to buy the Boeing Apaches still in the pipeline. And, the deal is worth about $150 million, and the deliveries will start later this year. Meanwhile, in the middle of this Russia-Ukraine situation, we have this growing situation in the Balkans where peacekeeping forces in Kosovo clashed with Serb protesters on Monday, and the tension arose after ethnic Albanian mayors took office in northern Kosovo's Serb-majority area after the April elections that these Serbs boycotted. So it remains doubtful if NATO truly wants to stop the conflict. All right, we're going to take another break for commercials. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new ease-off drop-and lift?
What in the world is an ease-off drop-and lift?
Our ease-off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the ease-off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my ease-off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new, healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available, and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To read more about this amazing breakthrough and to order your terahertz frequency wand, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
What really happened with your host, Mike Rivero? You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
Welcome back to our show here. And you would think with U.S. military forces spread all over the globe, the war in Ukraine, Syria is still going on, Iraq is garrisoned and everything, that maybe you'd want to be very cautious about getting into something new. But apparently on Wednesday, President Dina Boluarte authorized the entry into Peruvian territory of over 1,000 U.S. soldiers who will train the armed forces and the national police. Now, if you remember Vietnam, that's how that got started. We were sending over advisors, and even though they were in uniforms and flak vests and carried guns and everything, they were only advisors. And look how that ended up here. So we're getting ready to mess around in South America again. Yeah, I do think we're in a world war already. I mean, if you look at the history of World War II, there were conflicts all over the place. China and Japan were going at it. You had the wars in Europe. It just took the big bang at Pearl Harbor for everybody to say, okay, we're in another war to end all wars, and we'd better start assigning serial numbers here. Now, over in Britain, the intelligence agencies are facing a new investigation over their alleged complicity in the torture of two Saudi men at CIA black sites prior to their detention in Guantanamo Bay. Now, in separate legal cases, the two men accused British intelligence agencies of conspiring with U.S. officials in a CIA-run secret detention, torture, and interrogation program in the aftermath of 9/11. and lawyers representing the two men have filed complaints with the Investigatory Powers Tribunal, a court that hears allegations of wrongdoing by Britain's security services. All righty. Now, the Taliban has been clashing with Iranian border guards since last weekend, and apparently they are using American equipment to do it. Remember all that stuff that we left in Afghanistan? They're using it now against the Iranians, and maybe that was actually the reason that Biden left all of that weaponry there. It's just, you know, nudge, nudge, wink, wink, the Taliban will go after Iran. But at least three people died. Others were wounded in a dispute about water rights in the region. Water is becoming a very, very precious commodity in many, many parts of the world here. Okay, down in Israel, the parliament has advanced two bills that would bring Palestinian schools and staff in Israel under increased scrutiny from the security and intelligence services. If passed, one of the bills proposed would require the education ministry to carry out background security checks on potential teachers. And the bill would authorize a committee, after conducting a hearing, to rescind the appointment of a teacher or dismiss a school staff member if they identify with a terror organization or expressed support for the armed struggle of an enemy country. And it also requires potential teachers to prove they have no affinity for terrorism. That's proving a negative, which is very, very difficult to do. And the second bill sets stricter guidelines that make obtaining a teaching license much, much harder. Over in Sudan, in Africa, another place where everybody's fighting everybody else, Sudan's military has suspended its participation in talks with a paramilitary force it's been battling for weeks for control of the country. And the development was a blow to the U.S. and Saudi Arabia, who have been trying to mediate a peace between the two sides. The conflict has plunged Sudan into chaos. Conflict has a really bad habit of doing that, okay? Now, in Burkina Faso, their prime minister last Tuesday ruled out any negotiations with jihadist insurgents who've taken control of major parts of the West African country since 2015. And so there's more fighting going on over there. Burkina Faso has been ruled since 2022 by a military junta led by Captain Ibrahim Traore. I think it's pronounced. All right. Now, Biden is refusing to lift sanctions on the Chinese defense minister, and the Chinese government on Monday declined a U.S. request for Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin to meet with his Chinese counterpart, Li Xiangfu, after Beijing had said several times no meeting will be forthcoming as long as Li remains under U.S. sanctions. So basically, the Biden administration is putting a block on any possibility of talks with China over easing the tensions over Taiwan. Meanwhile, there is a serious discussion of bringing Taiwan under what's called the American nuclear umbrella. Our nuclear weapons are not just used to deter attacks on U.S. soil, but other countries like South Korea and Japan are also under that umbrella, and they're talking about bringing Taiwan under that, which, again, if we get into a conflict with China, you know, we're talking about the potential use of nuclear weapons. Okay. So, and speaking of China, they recently held a war game pitting their hypersonic missiles against the USS Gerald R. Ford battle group. And basically, the war games resulted in the sinking of the aircraft carrier. And they basically had 24 hypersonic anti-ship missiles across 20 intense battles. And their findings challenge the previously held notion that the USS Gerald R. Ford carrier fleet is invulnerable to conventional weapons. And, yeah, they told us the Titanic was unsinkable as well. So the simulation unfolded in the South China Sea. And hang on a second. Yeah, the South China Sea, where U.S. vessels persisted in approaching an island claimed by China despite repeated warnings. Chinese researchers demonstrated the long-range capabilities of their hypersonic missiles by launching some from distant locations like the Gobi Desert. The outcome of the simulation was very bleak for the United States, as nearly every surface vessel was shattered and ultimately sunk under the attack. And we are years behind China and Russia in the development of hypersonic weapons, and recently there was a setback when the Air Force program to develop a hypersonic missile basically had to be scrapped because the test missiles kept failing in flight. They couldn't get a successful test flight. Meanwhile, Pentagon Chief Lloyd Austin has lamented the breakdown in U.S. Chinese defense relations, warning that the absence of communication between the two countries increases the risk of an incident escalating into a more dangerous conflict. And again, as long as the Biden administration is sanctioning China's defense chief, there will be no talks and no communications. Meanwhile, India and Cambodia are deepening their defense and trade ties. And this was announced by Indian President Draupadi Murmu, during a visit by Cambodian King Norodom Sihamoni this week. It's the first visit by a monarch from the Southeast Asian kingdom in over six decades. The last visit by a Cambodian king was in 1963, when the current king's late father, King Norodom Sihanouk, was in India. So. Now, we reported earlier in the week, North Korea attempted to launch a spy satellite into orbit. It failed miserably. It rekitted itself. And North Korea's Kim Yo-jong, the sister of Kim Jong-un, said that it will only be a short interval between the country, short interval of time before the country attempts another launch, because they need to increase their military surveillance capabilities. Okay. Now, we're all wondering, where does all the money go? You know, it goes into the Pentagon. It's like, you know, a giant money motel. The money goes in, but it never comes on out here. Auditors have discovered that more than 1 million spare parts for the F-35 worth at least $85 million have gone missing over at least the last 5 years. This comes from the Government Accountability Office report. They're criticizing the program's supply tracking. And because of the problems with the F-35, those spare parts are needed because the planes do have a tendency to break down a lot. And auditors said that because the government doesn't have its own system tracking these parts, officials may not truly know how many spare parts are actually in the global spares pool, where they are, or what's their total value. And they said basically the problem could even be worse than what they were able to uncover here. Now, the Army has announced that it is seeing an upward trend in recruiting, but it has refused to provide numbers to back up that claim. Army Secretary Christine Warmoth told Congress that the branch has improved upon its numbers from last year in its bid to reverse a severe recruiting crisis, but would not fulfill a request to provide the actual data when it was requested by military.com. Okay. Now, the Pentagon has ordered Nellis Air Force Base to cancel an on-base family-friendly drag show. This was after pressure from Matt Gaetz. And, that's really not appropriate, I think, for a military base to be doing that kind of thing here. All right, let's talk a little bit about the economy. Chase Bank's website has been having technical issues all day. Some customers have reported transactions are going through twice, overdrawing their accounts. And Chase is saying the glitches were due to a technical issue and would be resolved within 5 hours from then, which means hopefully they're back up and running. And they're going to reverse any duplicate charges and they will cancel any overdraft fees. Anyway, customers will be updated about the progress via the Chase banking app or through a text message. Data from Down Detector shows that Chicago, New York, Los Angeles, and Dallas were the worst affected by the outages. Okay, down in Zimbabwe, remember they've had some really major economic issues. Wasn't all that long ago they were printing paper notes like $100 trillion. And it was kind of, you know, tragic for the people of Zimbabwe, but kind of, you know, a source of humor for the rest of the world. And you can, I think, still get those on eBay as a curiosity. They're not worth anything. So Zimbabwe is now looking at issuing a new currency that will be backed by gold. And we're actually hearing this from a lot of countries. They want to get away from this fiat, you know, instant money central bank system, which tends to lead to such instability in the economies. Commodity-based currencies are much more stable than bank-issued credits. Okay. Now, they've been talking about a cashless society coming to the United States here. And I see one major wrinkle with that. I mean, the United States has been sending pallets of $100 bills to places like Iraq when we were in there, probably a lot of the same thing going to Zelensky. And if all of a sudden that cash is worthless, there are going to be a lot of very angry people out there, very angry with the United States of America. And they don't want that wealth in somebody's computer someplace because, again, a lot of corruption going on. Meanwhile, up in Austria, okay, about 500,000 Austrians signed a referendum petition calling for the right to cash payments to be enshrined in Austria's constitution. And Austria's political class is refusing to move forward with adding this legal right. So this push for a cashless, you're dependent on the computer and your social credit score is moving forward here. Nowhere else in the world is an everyday life without cash so clearly rejected as in Austria. And we see this justified desire of the population, which is reflected in the popular petition for unrestricted cash payment as a concrete work order to the parliament. Okay, so they're taking a stand, and good for the Austrians here. More bad news for the almighty dollar. Saudi Arabia is now set to join the BRICS New Development Bank. And the strengthening of ties between BRICS and Saudi Arabia, which is the world's second largest oil producer, is undesirable for the West, as it again signals another advancement in the de-dollarization of the global economy. We are heading for a major, major crash. All righty. Now, there was an interesting article that came out of Zero Hedge, and it's talking about the homeless problem all across the country, and it's not uniform, okay? There are some states like California, where there's a huge homeless problem. There are other states, even under Democratic control, where homelessness is not much of a problem. And it turns out the difference is the drug laws, okay? The states with the lowest homelessness have much stronger hard drug laws than California. Fentanyl, heroin, other hard drug addictions, and the associated mental health crises of the drugs appear to be the root cause of California's homelessness. And they're saying that we need to address this and get it under control, which means closing that southern border, and reintegrate these people back into our society. Now, this is kind of a little upsetting. This is being reported in Zero Hedge. All the new U.S. jobs since the COVID crash have gone to foreign-born workers. American workers are being left out of what's going on there. And some of these are legal foreign workers, H-1B visas. A lot of them are illegals that are being used as low-priced labor here. Now, the Senate rejected an amendment to the debt limit bill that would have added the House-passed H.R. 2, the Secure the Border Act, to the must-pass legislation. The amendment was defeated 46-51 along party lines, with all but one Republican supporting the amendment and all the Democrats opposing the amendment. And basically, Senator Roger Marshall offered the amendment that would have added one of the strongest immigration enforcement bills in history to the debt limit legislation. But unfortunately, it failed, and so the border remains totally open. And on that very topic here, the Department of Homeland Security has issued a BOLO alert because they're aware that a no-fly list suspected terrorist had gone through Panama and is expected to enter the United States through the southwest border. Okay, so again, all kinds of stuff are coming through that border, children, drugs, guns, and now possibly terrorists as well. Up in Chicago, the city council has approved $51 million in aid for illegals. This is why while Chicago burns with rampant crime and violence. And the $51 million will cover staffing, food, and other resources. The vote passed 34-13. The black Chicago residents are slamming the city leaders over this plan, saying that the money definitely needs to be spent on the people. We got to take a break for commercials. We'll be right back.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead shilaji hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilaji Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilaji as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilaji by other names. Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilaji literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilaji has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
We will not go down in the night without a fight. You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight.
Welcome back to our show here. We're talking about immigration here, and apparently the California Senate earlier this week voted to pay $300 per week checks to unemployed illegal immigrants, even as the state faces a roughly $31 billion deficit and mass illegal immigration. Well, that's technically, theoretically, going to be all of the illegal immigrants, because under Title VIII, they are not allowed to seek employment in this country. So, they're just handing out the money. And basically, the legislation would offer undocumented aliens up to 20 weeks of unemployment benefits if they meet minimal work requirements. Well, that's amazing. Now, California's Unemployment Insurance Fund, which was defrauded of some $31 billion during the COVID-19 pandemic, would be in charge of dispensing the checks. California employers are on the hook for the fund's $20 billion debt in the form of higher payroll taxes that threaten employee-heavy small businesses and restaurants already devastated by the California Democrats' strict COVID-19 lockdowns. Alrighty, and California is also going to send $95 million to undocumented illegal immigrant flooding victims. The illegal immigrants are being treated better than the American citizens here. Now, Virginia Governor Glenn Youngkin has announced he will send soldiers to the United States border with Mexico, joining a growing list of Republican U.S. state leaders to do so. Youngkin has authorized the deployment of 100 members of the Virginia National Guard, plus 21 support personnel, to be sent down to the border. Now, over in Hungary, they sort of held the line on the immigrants and migrant situation, and they're saying that the solution to the demographic crisis are encouraging families, not bringing in all these immigrants. And, we're hearing warnings from many of the European countries that there are so many of these new migrants that the migrants are soon going to be the majority in the population, at which point they will simply vote themselves bread and circuses until the system implodes here. In fact, there was an article about this very subject in the German broadsheet Die Zeit, and it caused a storm on social media. Okay, now getting into climate stuff, you know about the carbon credits, right? This is something that you can sell if you are not producing carbon, and some companies that produce carbon can buy these to offset their carbon output in order to be carbon neutral. So when you see a sign on a website or a company, "We are carbon neutral," they're probably buying these carbon credits. Well, the CEO of the top carbon credit certifier has been forced to step down when a report found phantom credits, credits that hadn't actually come from anybody and were basically just made on up. Of course, this whole climate gate thing is a problem. All right, we're going to take a break for station identification. We're going to open phone lines, 512-248-8252, and we'll be right back.
John, I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.